This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and welcome to the show, everyone. In a few minutes, we'll talk with Bostonians who went to Selma, Alabama, for the 50th anniversary of the 1965 Bloody Sunday March. And then a little later, we'll talk to opposing sides of what some people call a modern-day civil rights issue, charter schools and access to quality public education. That's all in a bit. But first, let's turn to Boston Federal Court, where lawyers for admitted Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev have been carrying out their first extensive cross-examination of a prosecution witness. WBUR reporter Jack Lepiarz has just stepped out of the courtroom and joins us now. Jack, what's happening at the moment?
Well, at the moment, we have Boston Police Superintendent-in-Chief William Gross on the stand. He's essentially going through the large picture operations of the Boston Police Department in the moments after the bombings. Now, Gross was in charge of District 6, which is essentially Kenmore Square on the morning of the marathon. He says so far it was a perfect day up until about 2:49 when the bombs went off. It's a different perspective than what we've gotten so far. All of the perspectives have been first responders and victims on the scene. This is the first perspective we've gotten from a sort of department-wide view. And we also just heard from Boston EMS Chief James Cooley.
Mm. Now, Jack, we mentioned that the defense is actually doing cross-examinations today, something they almost uniformly declined to do last week with actual victims of the bombing. Who have they cross-examined and what have they asked them?
Well, let me set the stage for you before we get into the defense cross-examination. So this was an FBI, essentially, digital evidence collector. This is the man who was brought in from Quantico, Virginia, to collect all of the video evidence in the days after the bombing. And who essentially, he said himself, he looked over every piece of image, every piece of video or image evidence that came in. And there were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence that came in. He says for about a month, he was working 15-hour days, 7 a.m. to midnight. And the case that really brought the defense's attention is this compilation video that he had a role in assembling. And this video essentially is gathered from security footage and security images along Boylston Street and some side streets in the Back Bay. And it's assembled in order that you can see the two Tsarnaev brothers, Jahar Tsarnaev and Tamerlan Tsarnaev. You can see them round onto Boylston Street and start walking towards the bombing sites. And we saw all of the security footage. We saw the bombs go off. And then what we see for the first time is actually the two brothers after the bombings. I haven't seen these before. I don't believe anyone has seen these before. And we see Tamerlan Tsarnaev walking past a school in the Back Bay. He has no backpack. And we saw Jahar Tsarnaev actually running with the crowd on Boylston Street. Mm. Now, to get to your question, what was the defense cross-examining about him? They took issue with the timestamps in the videos. Now, the FBI agent who was on the stand had testified that the timestamps are not always 100% accurate on security systems. If I plug in the VCR, I might set it to 253 when it's actually 252. I'm off by a minute, even though the general feel is right. And some of these videos were not quite in order. The brothers passed one building at 241, and then a video that's later shows them passing it at 2:39, so it doesn't quite add up.
I see.
Now, as far,
sorry,
go for it.
I'm sorry, Jack. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but you know, I was very taken by the fact that you mentioned that this video was shown in court today, and as you mentioned, no one, save for a special few investigators, may have actually seen it before. What was the reaction in court?
Well, the reaction in court was very stoic, but what was interesting is, and keep in mind, we don't have a great view of the defendant, Jahar Tsarnaev, himself. I mean, I did manage to keep stealing glances over at Tsarnaev himself, and this is the most animated I've seen him in the trial, at least when a jury's been in the room, and that isn't saying much.
Animated
you saw
as
his
in,
head,
okay.
As in you saw his head sort of tilt from side to side as he was watching this. And remember, he's watching himself and his brother Tamerlan walking down Boylston Street the day of the bombings, the reason he's on trial here. And you saw him sort of sit up a little bit in his chair. You saw him lean forward a little bit to watch the video. You saw his head sort of, I don't want to say shift back and forth, but very slightly tilt back and forth as he watched these videos. The most animated I've seen him. Most of the time, when any witness is on the stand, he's been sitting slouched back in his chair, just staring straight ahead.
Right. Now, Jack, we know we've got to get you back into the courtroom here, but just briefly, do you know what we can expect next, or at least over the course of this week as the trial continues?
Yeah, we're starting to shift into sort of the broad picture look. We've gotten most of the information of the on-the-ground situation, what happened in the minutes and the seconds and the hour or two after the bombing. Now we're going to get into the department-wide stuff. We're going to start getting into, okay, exactly how did the FBI find these brothers? Exactly how did they gather the evidence? Exactly how did they make the bomb? We're going to start finding all of this stuff out as the days go on.
WBUR's Jack Lepiar is reporting to us from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston. Jack, thank you as always.
You're welcome.